Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to the MSTC Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Equirus Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the call over to Mr. Deep Modi from Equirus Securities Private Limited for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Equirus Securities, I welcome you all to Q4 FY25 earnings conference call of MSTC Limited. From the management, we have with us today Mr. Manoj Ghoshal, Chairman and Managing Director, Ms. Bhanu Kumar, Director Commercial, Mr. Subrata Sarkar, Director of Finance, and Mr. Ajay Kumar Rai, Company Secretary. We will begin the call with the opening remarks from the management, and then we will open the line for question and answer. I now hand over the call to Mr. Manoj Ghoshal. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning to everybody. Let me begin by welcoming all our esteemed investors for today's investor call. MSTC has been through an eventful FY25, which has seen not only a lot of uncertainty in the global and national business environment, but has been a time for us to introspect and realign our core business. FSNL, a 100% owned subsidiary of MSTC, which had been under strategic disinvestment as per the decision of the Government of India, was fully and finally transferred to the control of its new management on the 21st of January 2025. MRPL, which is a 50/50 joint venture with Mrs. Mahindra Auto, also has gone through a phase of consolidation and a lot of thought about the way forward. I'll dwell on that shortly in a while. As far as revenue from operations of MSTC is concerned, it showed a largely flat trend compared year on year. This was despite the loss of two large parts of the business, that is, coal auctions for Coal India Limited and NPAs of public sector banks for a large part of the year. The bright side was that by the last quarter, MSTC managed to get back the coal auction business as a service provider for Coal India through a competitive bidding process, and we hope for a steady revenue stream from here on from this. Similarly, here we've launched our MSTC Realty Portal and are trying to leverage this and the buyer base developed for NPA auctions for the PSBs by reaching out to cooperative banks, other smaller private entities, aggregate their NPA disposal and auction requirements, and drive greater volumes from this part of the business. On the other hand, our traditional business of scrap disposal revenues grew about 10% year on year, and there was a healthy increase in revenues from iron ore auctions as well. For mineral block auctions, MSTC provided services to almost all states, as well as those auctioned through the Ministry of Mines. New initiative has been the launch of Tranche 1 of offshore mineral blocks. The Ministry of Information and Broadcasting selected MSTC for e-auction of 730 FM channels across 234 cities, which will begin shortly. The Ministry of Civil Aviation has launched the version 5.5 of the UDAN scheme, for which MSTC will conduct the process in this coming year. For the state of Chhattisgarh, we developed an extremely responsive forest timber auction portal, which has helped the state to maximize revenues from the sale of timber and make the process extremely transparent. We have also conducted the third tranche of the 5G spectrum auction for the Department of Telecommunications in FY25. Another area that MSTC has forayed in FY25 has been development of portals and dashboards. This is leveraging our core strength of software application development. We are working with the MHA for developing a portal for KPKV. I've developed a comprehensive steel import management system since 2.0 for the Ministry of Steel, website for the Ministry of Steel, SRTMI, and so on. this is a promising area as far as we visualize that our expertise will be, can be used to quickly develop and customize these kind of applications and portals, dashboards, etc. for multiple clients. MSTC has also taken up the work of coal gasification project e-commerce solution. And we are looking to increase our footprint in e-auctions of all other natural resources, as well as for MDOs subsequently, facilitating the utilization of these resources for development. As far as MMRPL concerned, with the EPR policy now under implementation, the sourcing of vehicles, which was a primary constraint till now, should get alleviated over the next 2 to 3 years, as these will subsequently and progressively be more OEM driven. And this venture should be able to show a healthy growth in numbers from here on again. With this, I would like to request Director Commercial, Mrs. Bhanu Kumar, to supplement us regarding MSTC's business scenario, followed by Mr. Subrata Sarkar, our Director of Finance, to give us a financial snapshot.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, everybody. Before I start on the business update, most of which has already been touched upon by our CMD, I would like to highlight the key aspects of what went in Q4 of last year and also talk about the business updates thereafter. So the first item in the highlights is the exceptional item of, you know, the management control of FSNL being transferred. And we received a sum of about 320 crores as sale proceeds. Now, appreciation of value of investment was 301.69 crores. And this has been booked as an exceptional income. There was some old litigation for which a settlement was there at rupees 38.50 crores, which has also been taken under the exceptional expenditure. Net off is appearing as the 263.19 crore exceptional income. Operational performance, the company crossed INR of 898.23 billion in terms of value of goods transacted through e-commerce and marketing verticals. Financial performance, profit before exceptional item was 240.71 crores and in 24-25, which was 284.44 crores in 23-24. PBT of 503.90 crores in 24-25 vis-a-vis 284.44 crores in 23-24. This, of course, includes the exceptional item. PAT was 402.98 crores vis-a-vis 171.92 crores in 23-24. The consolidated PBT was without the exceptional item was 244.81 crores in 24-25 vis-a-vis 277.57 in 23-24. PBT was 507.99 vis-a-vis 277.57 and PAT was 407.08 vis-a-vis 165.05. Now coming to the business updates, some of the business projects that we had undertaken in 24-25 and which is continuing in this current year also is the minor mineral block auctions for the government of Goa, Arunachal Pradesh and Ladakh. Then we have signed the agreement with Ministry of Mines for offshore minerals. Tranche 1 of these auctions has been launched and it is underway. Ministry of INB has selected MSTC for the 730 FM channels across 234 cities. I think most of the other things has already been covered by our CMD's address, except that, yes, selling agency agreement with BPCL, which is a little significant as far as scrap options are concerned, that has been done in the last year, last quarter. And the coal block auctions, the 11th tranche is happening as of now. Chhattisgarh Forest Department auction is a slightly tricky kind of a new software was introduced for this, which is extremely responsive and it has to be, it was a major challenge as far as the technology and the software part is concerned. Then we have conducted the 5G spectrum auction on behalf of DOT. And we have developed a portal for the Kendriya Police Kalyan Mandal. This is basically for the canteen stores for all their personnel across the country. This is first of its kind and this can be replicated for other organizations as well in the future. Then we had continued with our services for the online draw system for selection of LPG and petrol pump dealerships. Apart from that, critical mineral coal classification, all these have already been touched upon. Now I'll hand over to Mr. Subrata Sarkar, our Director of Finance, for the financial part of it.
Yeah, very good afternoon to all. To start with, this was a very tough year for NSTC, as already narrated by our earlier speakers. So in spite of that, I will call it a very robust performance. We maintained that revenue stream, we maintained that profit stream, and company did, I will, in my opinion, the company did pretty well by withstanding the challenges available in the market, posed by the market. Coming to the numbers, so total revenue is 387.50 as compared to 416.59. So marketing as usual at a very low affair, but with backed by 110% bank guarantee to avoid any kind of provisioning that was the feature of the past years. And the e-commerce has a flatter performance, 278.29 as compared to 280.28, and others is 107.36 as compared to 134.27. This comprises of other operating revenue and other income part of this financial year. And we want to remind our esteemed stakeholders that this year, though FSNL was sold, but we have not yet got any kind of dividend from FSNL. Last year it was 25.60 crore. So that gap was there and is evident from the financials that we can observe. The expenses, we have tried to maintain the expenses at the same level in spite of hike and inflationary pressure on us. It is 127.46 as compared to 124.42, a mere increase of 2.44% only. Depreciation it has gone up from 7.32 to 9.09 on account of certain capital asset addition. Interest, very bare minimum. And here a new line item, impairment losses of 10.06 crore has come up. Though it is an account, it was an accounting exercise necessitated as per the extract accounting standards that has to be followed while preparation of the account. The management is hopeful that this recovery will be made very soon. Exceptional item comprises of basically two things. One, net of proceeds from FSNL sale, and second, some payment of some old arbitration award, settlement of old arbitration award. So with that, profit before tax stands at 503.90 as compared to 284.44. That is up by 77%. Taxes almost remaining the same because the rates have come down. So from it is 112.52 to 100.92. So here we would like to say that the taxes has been calculated on sale of FSNL on long-term basis, which is the lower taxation slab. And profit after tax has come up from 171.92 to 402.98. Earning per share has come up from 24.24 to 257.24. Now, the segmental reporting that we can see that the volume is 898.23 billion as compared to 1415.86 billion last year. Total revenue is 387.50 as compared to 416.59, and revenue from e-commerce is 278.29 as compared to 280.28, in which that e-auction e-sale is 272.86 as compared to 274.44. E-procurement remaining almost the same, 5.43 as compared to 5.84. Other income earlier mentioned, it is down from 134.27 to 107.36. Mainly contributing factor was the not receipt of dividend from FSNL of 225.6 crore, which was there in the earlier year, that is FY23-24. And marketing revenue remained the flatter in a same trajectory, and the expenses all already narrated. So with that, adding to the impairment losses, profit and loss before exceptional item is 240.71 as compared to 284.44 last year. That is down, but mainly contributing factor is that dividend one. Otherwise, so far on the operational front, it is on the same trajectory. And with the effect of exceptional income, 263.19, PBT comes stands at 503.90 as compared to 284.44, and after tax it comes to 402.98 as compared to 171.92. Now coming to the consolidated, so here we want to mention like that this year the consolidation has been done only taking into effect of our share and profit and loss from joint venture, because FSNL is no more longer the subsidiary of our company, and as on 21 January, the management has been handed over to the new incumbent. So with that, the total revenues remains as it is of the standalone part, and with the share of profit and loss of joint venture, profit and loss before exceptional item comes to 244.81 as compared to 277.57. Previous year figures have been regrouped, eliminating the figures of FSNL. Exceptional item is 263.19. PBT before tax and consolidated basis 508 as compared to 277.57. And profit after tax comes to 407.08 as compared to 165.05. And earning per share is 57.82 as compared to 23.44 last year. And if you look at the summary of the P&L statement, so we can see that the revenue from operation remains flatter, 310.96 as compared to 316.25. Other income, as earlier mentioned also, it is 76.54 as compared to 103.4, mainly because of non-receipt of dividend from FSNL. And the employee benefit expense stands almost on the flatter trajectory, increase of mere 3.76% to 91.32 as compared to 88.01, finance cost remaining a very mere minimum, and depreciation also a very at a very lower level of 9.09 as compared to 7.32. As you know, that is the asset light company, and there is a slight minor provision, so it is a negligible amount, 0.52 as compared to our revenue from operation of 310.96, not even a percentile percentage we can calculate. Other expenses also gone down from 36.41 to 35.62. With impairment losses, total expenses stands at 132.15 as compared to 146.79. So with that, this profit and loss for the PF stands at 402.98 as compared to 171.90. So far in the consolidated front, the expenses are 136.73 as compared to 132.15, and the profit stands at 407.08 as compared to 165.05, and that is all from management side. So we can have question and answer from our esteemed.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Kamlesh Bagmar from Lotus Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just one question. We have received approval from Coal India to conduct their e-auction for next 2 odd years. So how do we see the revenue growth panning out in next couple of years?
So basically, for Coal India, it is on event basis. So as we see, Coal India's mining operations have expanded and multiplied over the years. So the volume of coal that's going to be sold through this e-auction is also going to increase in the coming years. Based on that, we can have a fair assumption that the number of events will increase and the revenue should be on the upward trajectory only.
But on an overall business basis, like what revenue growth we are forecasting over the next 2-3 years, ma'am?
You're talking of whole...
Overall.
If you have been seeing in the past the couple of years, it has been a little flat. But we are optimistic that, you know, we can... In the past, we had witnessed a growth of about 10-12%. So we are ambitious and we want to have that kind of growth year on year.
What would drive this growth? Because over the years, sometime we had some issues on the Coal India side, then this financial, like on the banking side, like banks started their own portal. Then what are the drivers for this growth in the coming years?
This is actually a business that is dependent on the client. So there will always be, you know, a couple of, you know, orders that will not be with us and a couple of new orders. So all the time we are striving to retain our existing business and go for expansion or roping in more clients. So this is a challenge that we have to constantly face. Apart from this, we do have certain ideas in that, you know, we will be launching our own products. Which we will be, you know, sharing with you probably in the next investor con call. We do have certain products like, you know, equipment leasing portals and some, you know, ERP small solutions and all. Of course, these have just been, they are in the development stage and we are just roping in the stakeholders. So we are actually cushioning ourselves against the loss of, you know, major clients. If at all that happens at any point of time, our endeavor is to retain all the clients all the time. But then this, you know, up and down kind of business movements will always be there. So with these, you know, products, ready to offer products kind of thing, we envision to cushion ourselves against these kind of changes.
One more thing I would like to supplement here is that by the very nature of e-commerce business, which is sector agnostic, so there would, over a period of evolving time, there would be a situation when certain areas of business would go down, but then multiple other areas, including new areas, would come up. That has been the trend over the past few years. And we also foresee that is the kind of growth, that is the kind of thing which will drive growth over the next few years.
Lastly, what is the status of that real estate offering which we had initiated in last couple of quarters? So what is the traction there?
So actually there are two business models there. One is a end-to-end kind of a solution where, you know, all the operations are done by MSTC, and one is a platform services which is similar to the services that we were offering for the PSB banks earlier. So this is a portal, that's a platform service. There the traction is a little on the lower side, but many of those banks want end-to-end kind of solution where we have advisory role also. So the e-sale segment of it is getting a little, you know, more traction than the realty portal. Though the asset is the same, but because of the different business models, we are classifying it under e-sale rather than the realty portal. I hope I'm able to clear this.
Yeah. Thanks, ma'am. And the margins would be in the range of 60-65% that we are hopeful to maintain.
That is a little too early to actually, you know, talk about right now.
No, I'm alluding to the overall revenue side.
Overall, you see the last couple of years, if you can see our EBITDA margins. So I said that you are talking about the EBITDA margins, right, sir?
So, without other income.
Without other income, I think we will be able to maintain that. Beyond that.
At similar levels.
So that margins, you can see, if you can analyze our this operating EBITDA margins. So we have maintained the, although not there is a growth in the revenue, but the margins are still being maintained.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Vinay Nadkarni from Hathaway Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just wanted to check out, what is this impairment loss of 10.06 crores that you have taken?
Sir, this is for our investment in MMRPL. So this is as per Ind AS, as it was incurring losses. So we have to do the fair valuation of the investment, and for that we have to book that much of impairment loss in our books for that investment impairment. So this is one part. I would like to add one thing for you, sir, acquaintance. Though it is an accounting exercise, we are hopeful, and in the coming stages, I think our CMD would like to add something on this particular front.
Right. So as I was also mentioning, that MMRPL has been in operation over the last 5 to 6 years, and even at right from the beginning, it was very clear that this is a market which will take time to evolve, because the ecosystem for vehicle recycling has been also in a state of simultaneous development over the country. MoRTH issued some guidelines. Now it was up to the states, who have also been implementing those guidelines in a phased manner. Simultaneously, an EPR policy was also in the works for the OEMs, which has now been, it is now under implementation. So overall, the scenario was such that as far as sourcing of vehicles is concerned, that had always been a constraint for registered vehicle scrapping facilities, not only ours, to all the major players in this sector. At this point of time, the ecosystem is going to change, in the sense that since customers, the final customers, are now going to get significant benefits from recycling their vehicles through RVSFs, and the other fact is, because of EPR, OEMs would be also driving the acquisition of end-of-life vehicles. So these are two factors which should drive the numbers up, which is why we have a positive outlook over the next 3 to 4 years of this business now coming into a steady state and growing.
So could you look at profits coming in next year, or would it take another year or two more?
At least a couple of years.
So at least a couple of years that we will be able to take till that EPR policy matures and gives us a proper impetus to drive a profit there, sir. At least a couple of years.
Yeah, and secondly, on this tax rate, what would be a steady-state tax rate that we should consider for MSTC?
Pardon?
Tax rate.
Here, I mentioned during my on-call that here you can see that we have to take two tax rates. One for that sale of that investment, we have taken that long-term capital gains, effective is around 14% something, 14 point something. And for other thing, we have gone to lower tax regime, but effective rate is around 25%. So we had a mixed rate this year. So when the annual balance sheet comes up, you will get a total breakup how the tax calculation has been come up. So, but no, in nutshell, I would say that there are two rates, sir.
So going forward, will it be 25% would be a steady state rate?
Because you know, as per that taxation laws, once we have opted for lower regime, so it will be, has to be the lower regime, because we cannot change that option. We have opted that, and we feel that it is a right option for MSTC. Looking at all requirement.
Thank you. Thank you for your answers.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ronak Raichura from Vikab Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Sir, I was more keen on understanding whether MSTC has been able to bag any projects from private companies, while we get a lot of business from the PSUs primarily. I was reading your previous con calls, and I happened to read some statements where we said that we are doing something for Reliance Industries, or we're doing for some private companies. So any update on this? I mean, have we been able to crack the private companies, the publicly listed companies, but which is non-PSUs?
Actually, our scrap business, we are having almost all the major players. Like Indus is probably our primary customer as far as scrap sale is concerned. Bharti, Airtel and Indus. We are also catering to the Tata's group, Tata Power especially. Then the Reliance Industries for their refinery unit, scrap sale. Of course, we are just one of the service providers, the Vedanta Group, the JSW. Then we are also catering to them for their iron ore sale, JSW, ArcelorMittal, Jindal. They are all selling a part of their iron ore through our portal. L&T is another you know, major customer which is actually looking for our services in the scrap area. Apart from this, they are also looking at a different business model for their process scrap, which is the scrap that gets generated during the manufacturing or processing of their material. So that is another new model that we will be coming up shortly. So L&T is another big client. So what happens is they first come to us for a pilot project and then slowly, you know, expand their operations. Then there are smaller, you know, almost all the CFS units in the country. They are selling their scrap through us. Then all these small and medium segments in various pockets of the country, the Industrial Development Corporation, OIDC is something that we had already mentioned in the past couple of years. So those business models are already in place. Once they are comfortable with the scrap disposal, they do approach us for their other requirement also. So that is how we expand in the private sector.
Excellent. Excellent, madam. So, ma'am, how is the competitive landscape there? I mean, can we expect additional traction? I mean, if our services are good, what is the general competitive landscape like? I mean, do they have two, three other service providers giving similar services, or once they are comfortable, they will give you the contract for the entire scrap sale? How does it work?
Actually, it depends on the client. Say somebody like Industars or Bharti Airtel, they are totally dependent on us. They have just one agreement. But then some groups like Tata's and Reliance and all, they do have multiple service providers. So based on the business requirement or, you know, the comfort level, or if they have been having an association with somebody in the past, or if they have their own systems, like, you know, SAP also has some kind of, you know, some methodology for recording the bids. So if they are comfortable with that, then you, I mean, they don't want to change. They don't want to shift to our platform. But once they see that there is some benefit, especially see the kind of services that make our biggest advantage is the buyer base. That is how we are able to get the best, you know, offer for their material. So once they see that advantage, slowly they shift to our platform. So it is a combined kind of a thing as of now. It is totally dependent on the client.
Okay. So buyer base is what? Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So buyer base being a very important pull factor. Can we expect that the traction from this segment, even for these large listed players, will actually increase because of the increasing buyer base? Or I wanted to know which are the biggest competitors in this in this segment. I mean, which other companies are having very huge buyer bases and therefore are able to attract customers there? Are we aware?
Mr. Rajura, I'm about to say, essentially the competition here is more with our private sector client having a one-on-one arrangement with for disposal. Rather so, the competition is more in the sense of convincing the client that it is going to lead to better revenue realization for him if he goes through our portal rather than have a 1:1. So it's more of a question of that rather than as to how many other major players are there in the our portal services.
And I'll just add to that. See, we are probably having the biggest buyer base as far as scrap sale is concerned, and there's no one matching that kind of numbers.
Okay. Excellent. So that answers my question. I'll wait in the queue. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Anand from Mount Intra Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hello.
Yeah.
So I just have a couple of questions. So in your audited financial statement, the consolidated revenue for FY24 was 520 crores. In your presentation, it is stated as rupees 416 crores. Am I reading this correct? Is there any discrepancy or how should I just go about it?
Pardon? Ina?
In your audited financial statement, the PDF you brought out yesterday, FY24 revenue was at 520 crores. And in your presentation, it is stated as rupees 416 crores. So yeah. Why is there a difference?
Yeah, actually, in the earlier years, you know, it is earlier years, it was basically, just let me check out. Audited financials, you are talking about the audited consolidated financials, right?
Consolidated financials for FY24. I think you recorded a revenue on marketing activity. This is my understanding.
Just a minute, in 24, it was, FSNL was in, included, right? So right now what we have done, we have recasted the figure and eliminated the FSNL. So almost that consolidated and the standalone will be the same, right, sir?
Okay, got it. So this 104 crore is attributed for FSNL, correct?
Right.
Okay, got it. And another question, is it possible for you to give me a split between how much revenue comes from private sector and how much revenue comes from government as of now, as of, say, FY25?
It is very difficult because we do not have any such kind of, you know, segmentation like that. But more or less, it is in the range of 90-10.
Okay. Oh, that's it.
10% is from government.
Got it. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rakesh, an investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. My first question is regarding the news item that MSTC had bagged a contract from the government of Telangana for e-procurement. Now, as I understand, wasn't it compulsory for all government departments or the central government, state government, PSUs, etc., to make their procurement from the GEM portal?
Actually, we have signed an agreement with Government of Telangana, not just for e-procurement, it is for all e-commerce services, that is including e-auctions, e-sale of their raw material and e-procurement. The state of government of Telangana has chosen us as the service provider. There is a general advisory for the central government organizations and departments to use GEM, but the state governments are still having their own portals or, you know, using other portals also. In fact, many of the states have their own portals for procurement. But here the government of Telangana has decided to go with our portal.
Okay, so what will be the revenue impact just from the e-procurement activities? I understand that MSTC has been doing a lot of work for the Telangana government as far as e-sale is concerned, land parcels, etc. But as far as e-procurement is concerned, what is the revenue potential?
Potential is vast, but it will be very difficult to put a number to it right now because we have just very recently signed this agreement and we'll have to see how to onboard all these things. You know, have a, you know, mature model for uniform practices. So that's an ongoing process. We see, we can probably give you something at the end of the year only. But right now, it's too early to say anything as far as the procurement portfolio is concerned.
Okay. My second question was regarding the data center business that you were very confident about starting. It's been a year since, you had made the changes in the MOA and AOA. Any update on that?
Actually, we are now setting up a new office here in New Delhi and we'll be shifting shortly. So we are setting our second DR site here. So once that is done, probably, you know, we'll be in a position to answer to your query as to, you know, how this will, by when this new data center or what is our plans for the new data center. This is an ongoing process, so we are just wanting to first have a DR site in place and thereafter take up this.
So by when is the DR site going to be ready, madam?
Another couple of months.
Okay, so that means revenue will start flowing only from the second half or maybe next.
This DR site is going to cater to our existing requirements only. The services that we are already offering, it's going to be a disaster recovery site for it. Going forward, we will be adding capacities and using the redundant capacities, if at all any, and monetizing it. So as of now, you know, first let us set it up and then, you know, consolidate our requirements. Have those applications already hosted, then we will probably be able to have a fair assessment of this.
Okay. And any other businesses that MSTC is looking at?
As I said earlier, we are thinking of, you know, ready to market kind of products like, you know, leasing portal for equipments and ERP, small ERP solutions for mining operations, because a lot of these, you know, customers, bidders who have been successful in coal block and mineral blocks, they are looking for small enterprise solutions for their requirements. So this is off-the-shelf kind of products that we are looking at. It is still in the development stage, and we will be able to market it by within this financial year. The leasing portal is more or less ready. It should be rolled out in a couple of months. And based on the initial pilot project, we will be able to roll it out in a bigger way.
Okay. Thanks, ma'am.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Kamlesh Bagmar from Lotus Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Ma'am, one question on the part of your revenue. Like, say, we have been saying that we have grown at 10-odd% rate over last couple of years. But if I see your revenues, they are almost flat compared, like, say, 2022-2023. We have not grown. There may be some, like, say, revenue mix on the part of your marketing mix or there. But on an absolute revenue basis, we have literally not grown over the last 3 years.
No, I had not said that we have grown year on year at 10%. The last 2 years have been flat. Before that, it was in the range of 10 to 12%.
If I may supplement, I think you mistook my... I was talking about the segmental revenues from sale of scrap. That is something which had grown and helped us
like
to offset the
yeah.
that had happened in coal and so on.
So if we see for FY22 revenue, it was 471. And March 2021, it was 428 crore. While we in this year, we have done 311. So our...
This is not an apple-to-apple comparison.
No,
because at that point of time, it was including the FSNL revenues also.
No, I am talking just about the standalone numbers.
Just a minute, sir. Like, if we can look at, in the year 21-22, we left, 2021, we left the traditional, balance of the traditional revenue was weeded out, so far marketing is concerned. So in the year 22-23, we grew up, right? So you grew up in a e-commerce segment, but from there on your statement is okay, we are on a flatter trajectory. But there was a growth in the e-commerce segment from 2018-19 to 2022-23, and leave aside one corona year where the growth was not apparent. But if I look at the numbers, sir, so it will be a bit confusing because that time also the legacy marketing, though it was, we left that in the year 2019-20, that turnover kept on adding to our our balance sheet in the revenue from operation till 2021 and 2021-22. So that was a little bit confusing, but in the overall perspective, we grew in that particular year. Afterwards, we become stagnant after 22-23.
I'll just add to that. See, basically, you will have to see only the growth of e-commerce segment because we are now only doing e-commerce business. Marketing is very, very minuscule. In the earlier years, we had several models of trading, which was getting added to the revenue from operations. So if you actually go through the e-commerce growth story, up to 22-23, we have witnessed average growth rate of about 10-12%. In one particular year, it was to the tune of more than 15% also. So I was referring to that. Last 2 years have been a little challenging and there has not been much growth. But going forward, because of these plans that we have talked about just now, we are hopeful that we will be able to, we are ambitious that we should be able to target that kind of a growth.
Okay. Thanks, ma'am. And lastly, ma'am, over the year, like the last couple of quarters, we had given some suggestions that on the presentation side, because in presentation, it really doesn't add any value in terms of information. Because it's just the facts are put up from the P&L. So if we can list out some key factors, like say from the mineral auction, how much contribution was there, or like from the scrap sales, or any other like the financial asset side. So if we can give those inputs or data points or operating metrics, then it would be much more helpful to make our view as well and to have a better insight into the company's operations.
Yeah, we do have some small sub-segments under the e-commerce portfolio like scrap sale, e-sale, e-procurement, iron ore, coal. So that probably, that kind of, that thing we can include in our presentations. But we'll not be able to tell you as to how much is coming from coal, from forest or from properties or from each of those sub-segments. We have broadly 5 sub-segments under the e-commerce portfolio. So that we will probably be able to incorporate in our presentation.
Yeah, I would like to add what Madam told. Actually, what is happening over here? So we are depending upon, as earlier also told, on the holistic solution, overall solution. Because you see, the trend cannot be get out of that particular thing. So sometimes basically it's the client-driven. It is not a product-driven. Generally in a trading industry, in a e-commerce industry, it is a product driven. But here it is a client driven. If a client, I have got a client called X. So if he has the coal, we will do the coal e-auction. If he has got other mineral, we will do that. So that way the trends is very difficult. And what we can see like that, we lost that coal business of Coal India, coal e-auction, but still able to maintain a flatter trajectory. So that is the trend, that is the kind of business that MSTC is in. We are in a platform services, not on a basically a commodity type thing. For our own analysis purpose we do it, but it is very difficult to find out a trend analysis out of that. So it's a very critical type of thing. Anyway, whatever is available with us and is available as per in the financial statement, we will try to make it more elaborate as suggested, sir. We feel that we have just got the filler. We will try to get more information for your analysis, sir.
But whatever ma'am is telling, at least you can provide that. Something is better than nothing, sir.
We will try.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have follow-up questions from the line of Vinay Nandkarni from Hathaway Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just wanted to know what was the, because this year there was nothing coming in from coal auctions, I presume, the revenues. So what was the contribution of coal auctions in the previous years, and therefore can we just forecast what would be the income coming from coal auctions in the FY26?
Not that, we didn't do coal auctions at all, because in the last quarter we did get back the business from Coal India, and apart from that we are also doing coal auctions for Meghalaya government and also for some of the other utilities in the country like Orissa Power and Coal Company, and we are also doing for Singareni Colliery. So those are of course very small in comparison to the Coal India auctions. We have got back that, so it should be in the range of about, I can't put a number to it because it is totally depending on the number of events that will be carried out in a month. So,
Can you tell me what was the contribution of Coal India auctions in, say, FY24 last year? if I can get a fair idea?
Hardly any percentage, because we have got a total revenue of around 270 plus from revenue from this e-commerce, and as we have got the business back in the last quarter, so we cannot put percent. It can be in the range of
4 to 5%.
I'm asking for 24 the previous year.
Well, the last year it may be around maximum
about 10%.
10 to 12%.
10%
is the coal segment contribution to the overall e-commerce revenue
of Coal India specifically.
Not Coal India, total
other,
coal.
Other.
Because as we said, we are not doing any kind of accounting.
Okay, understood. Okay, thanks a lot. Thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Rakesh, an investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, this is a build-up on a question that was just asked by another person. So regarding Coal India, if I remember it right, Coal India has allowed MSTC to auction around 40% of the coal that it produces?
This is a policy-driven thing. See, they do have to allocate a lot of their coal mined on the long linkage policy, right? So whatever is not there, whatever is allowed as per the policy for commercial sale, that is only auctioned through the MSTC's platforms. So that keeps changing. Earlier it was just 10%, then it was increased to 15 to 20%. So it changes from time to time depending on the production of Coal India.
Okay, so who are the other, which are the other organizations that auction coal for Coal India?
M Junction is the other service provider. There are only two service providers for Coal India.
Okay, so whatever coal is auctioned by Coal India is either through MSTC or through M Junction.
Absolutely, and most of it is given on long-term linkage policy.
Yes, ma'am, that I understand.
And those are sector-specific.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. A reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. As there are no further questions, I would now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
At the end, I would like to thank all our esteemed investors who have taken the time out to give us a feedback. When you ask these questions, it also helps us to rethink as to what we are doing right and what we are doing wrong. So please do keep reminding us of how that is always a help of helping us to run your company better. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you. On behalf of Equirus Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.